Turn in your Bibles. We're just going to, I believe, receive some encouragement from the Lord through the Word, some teaching, the teaching of Jesus. And then I'd like to pray for a couple of situations in people's lives this morning and minister to a few people. So this, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus had, you can read the whole story, it's in the same chapter. He'd been traveling along in the morning and he'd saw a fig tree and he spoke to the fig tree because he went to try and find some fruit. There was no fruit on it, so he spoke and he cursed the fig tree. And he did this so that the disciples would learn a lesson about believing prayer. The next morning they passed by the very same fig tree, and that very same fig tree has died and withered from the roots, the Bible says. And Peter was amazed and he said, "Look at that, that's awesome. You know, Jesus just speaking, look at that, that's mega." And it was such a kind of a visual demonstration that Jesus wanted to say, I want you to see the picture of this and to see actually what happens when you, as a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus, pray and speak what God says and God wants into a situation. And so this is Jesus speaking to the disciples about what had happened. Verse 22, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now this is the Lord teaching on how to effectively pray to get the same results that Jesus got and the same results that we read of in Scripture. The Bible's full of examples about miraculous results from people praying. And he says, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. There was in the Old Testament, there was a prophet called Elijah. And Elijah, he said of his own life, "I stand before God." He lived in a time where many other gods were being worshipped. There were many other influences. The people of God actually had turned away from the Lord and gone after false gods. And Elijah remained loyal and true to the Lord, his God. And he said, "I stand before God and I'm his servant. I'm the one who actually I know that he is Lord of all." And God spoke to Elijah that he was going to stop the rain in the country from falling for 3 years. And then God spoke after 3 years and a little bit longer than just three years and a little bit, "I'm going to send the rain." And Elijah then announced that it was going to rain again. And then the Bible in the New Testament says, you and I need to be like Elijah. We're just like him in nature. We've got the same character, kind of, you know, we don't think we're absolutely brilliant at prayer. But God says, if you connect with what I'm saying and pray the way Elijah prayed, you're going to get massive results. Now, God wanted to show that he was God when all the false gods were being seen and heard about. He wanted to demonstrate that he is actually God in control of the weather. I love that. Our God is a God who's in control of everything. He is supreme authority over all. He is the highest name and the highest king and creator. Now, this can kind of... You think, well, we don't live in a world where people worship other gods. You'd be mistaken. The gods of our nation are hidden behind things and money. People worship things. They worship stuff. They spend their whole devotional life on gaining more stuff. Stuff is what their goal is. And there's a demon behind that. There's a desire for money that actually has a spirit behind it that can lead many astray, their hearts away from the Lord, because wealth can easily become another god in standing in the place of the Lord, our God. In Mongolia, I looked out Corrie's kitchen window and saw a different kind of god being worshipped. And there was this kind of tiny little balcony. This woman came out and stood there. And it was a sunny morning, very cold, but sunny and bright. And the city, the capital city of Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar, is surrounded by beautiful mountains. The city itself is unattractive. And I mean it. There's very little you could look at and go, oh, isn't that beautiful? Apart from people. The people are beautiful. But the... You look out to the mountains, to the hills, and the culture of that nation is they have another god. And most of their gods are the god of the mountains. And the god, you know, god, they think creation is, there's a force behind that they claim to be God. And I saw this woman with a kind of a ladle spoon like you use for soup. And she stood there like this, with her eyes up in the sun, looking beyond the city into the hills, going like this. And I thought, what on earth is she doing? It looked really weird. She's standing there with her ladle like this. And she was actually praying and asking her God for blessing and prosperity and protection. And she stood there. And then apparently the style of worship is there's milk in this ladle. And she throws this milk to the gods. It's like she's giving to her God. And I thought, well, it's a bit like Elijah in that day where there were other gods and everybody trusted something else. But Elijah says, I trust God. I stand before the God who made the mountains. Our God made. And the scripture says we lift up our eyes to the Lord, not to the hills. The mountains won't supply the need. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is above every other god. Amen. And Elijah said, I stand before him and he speaks to me. And what he says, I believe. Now, this is what's important about what Jesus has just been teaching us about prayer. When you pray, believe. Have the faith that comes from God. And Elijah couldn't believe to pray for no rain for 3 years without having faith. Right. It would just be an idea. Yeah. Or pray that it would rain again. It would have been another idea. But the source of faith came from God's word that came to him. And when faith entered into his heart, when he heard what God said he was going to do, Elijah didn't just believe it, he prayed it into being. That's what the New Testament says about believing prayer. That when you have a word from God and you believe that you receive it, then you take that promise and pray it until it happens. And Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again after 3.5 years, and it rained. So God says of every single individual in this room that if you do prayer like Elijah does prayer, you are going to see the same results of mega world-changing results where it will prove that God is God. Isn't it a time where we see that God is God and that he really is Lord over all things? It's time the church prayed for a demonstration of God in the earth. Not that could have been God, but that has to have been God. That kind of prayer. And so Jesus says that when you pray, believe that you receive it. Now, he starts off by saying you need the faith that comes from God. Because we can't believe God unless we first hear his word. We can't even be saved unless we hear the word of truth first. And it's after we hear the word of truth, the good news about Jesus, that after we believe what we've heard, we are saved. So faith always comes before salvation. Faith always comes before an answer to what we're praying. And so faith always precedes the prayer that gets the answer. And that's why Jesus said, when you pray, at the moment you're asking, it's the moment to receive it.
Yes, that's it.
When you pray, at that time you are praying, believe in that moment you receive it. At that time, and it will be yours. Jesus also said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will come into being for you. It will happen. And so Jesus makes this connection to effective prayer with him in relationship with Jesus, living in Christ, and his word living in us. And when the promises of God, which are in the word of God, the scriptures, begin to live in us, when his word lives on the inside of us, we can ask according to that word, and it's going to happen. Yes, I like results. I don't want to just pray and not get answers. I want to pray and get answers, don't you? I want to see God move and do what man cannot. But I need to be taught how to pray effectively. And faith is always connected and has to do with the word of God. Because you can't have faith without having a word from God. So whatever you're praying about, the first thing that you need is the word of God. And to hear it and hear it and hear it until you've got faith. And until that word that lives on the inside of you. So that the living faith of the word of God in you begins to be the prayer that you pray. And that prayer is so full of the life of faith and the Holy Spirit that you get the answer. Hallelujah. Elijah was like that. And I can prove it if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings. I just read this morning and thought, now there it is, Lord. Exactly what you taught on prayer is in this example with Elijah. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. I love prayer. God wants you to love it. Yeah, he wants you to love praying. Because that's how he brings heaven to the earth. It's how he brings his will into being. 1 Kings 18 and verse 41. Now, Elijah had heard the Lord that God was going to send rain, and he was announcing this to the king. And verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain." Rain? What rain? I can't hear no rain. Can you imagine being in that meeting with Elijah? Elijah comes and says, "I can hear this rain. Can you hear the rain?" And the king goes, "No." He said, "Just go and celebrate. Go and eat and drink. Because it's the end of the famine. It's the end of no rain." Not a drop. You know, when it hasn't rained for 3.5 years, do you know how desperate a country could be? Do you know how desperate the whole nation would be if there was no rain for 3.5 years? Famine would break out. All kinds of poverty and sickness would break out. And so they've all got used to, for 3 years, those rainless conditions. Drought. But the word that came to Elijah. He so had the word living on the inside. He says, I can hear it on the inside. See, faith, Jesus says, with your heart you believe, not with your head. You can't believe God with your head and be saved. You have to receive the word of God into your heart. Believe in your heart first. And Elijah was hearing the rain before he ever prayed it. He then went to pray after hearing the sound. I've got rain in my spirit. It's in my heart. God's word has come from his mouth, from the word of God. God's word is living and powerful. It carries the breath of God. Every word carries divine life. And the word came into his spirit, and he went, it's going to rain. Guys, you may as well celebrate. Rain's on the way. I can hear it. I can hear it. So it's not even dropped. One drop. And then he goes up to the mountain, and he goes up Mount Carmel, and he gets down, and he begins to pray. And this is what the Bible says effective fervent prayer does. But it begins with having faith in God. That when you pray, you believe you've received it, and it will be yours. What amazing things. You can have the sound of something that God's going to do on the inside with absolutely no evidence on the outside. You can have something living on the inside of you that is of God and his promise that actually will accomplish everything he said it would. And there's just no sign. There's no visible evidence. There's nothing you can touch or smell but you just know that you know that you know that that is alive on the inside of you. And nobody can tell you it's not coming. But then at that point, when you believe it, you then begin to pray until, with faith, until you see it. And he prayed, and he kept sending his servant, can you see it yet? Can you see it yet? It's coming. I've got the sound. I know on the inside what God's going to do. Yeah. Until he said, oh, hang on a minute. I can see a cloud. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. But the cloud was formed by the word of God in one person's heart who prayed it. Yeah. And there are many signs to come through your believing prayer. There are many miracles that are going to break out on the nation because you're going to pray. There are many things that are going to happen in your family because you've got the sound. You've got the, I know what's going to happen on the inside of me. God's word doesn't just live here, it lives on the inside of my heart. And I believe that I receive it, but I'm going to pray it until it happens, till I get the sign. So encouraging for us, because many times, you know, we kind of need to just demystify and use the stories of the scriptures so that we can be encouraged to pray like Elijah prayed and fulfill the teaching of Jesus on prayer. And not just pray the way we've always prayed. We were walking through the streets of Mongolia, which are very dusty and dirty. And Corrie was saying, this teacher who just left, and I believe that was a result of the Lord doing something to evict a plant from the enemy. She said, we really need teachers in this. We can't find... teachers are called their mums, really, to the children to look after. They live in the house and they look after, I don't know, sometimes 8 children. And they take care of them. They treat them like their own children. But they also, you know, work under a vision that Corrie has for the gospel outworked in these children's lives. She said, we really need desperately a replacement, but you can't find people. I thought, well, God can find them. And we're walking along, and sometimes, you know, you don't have to have your head between your knees praying like Elijah. Sometimes you can just be walking along and pray a believing prayer. Yeah. So we're there, walking along, and my faith is, because the word lives on the inside of me, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That's my faith. It lives. It lives in me. I can look at your life and say, my God will supply all of your needs, not your wants. Sometimes we want stuff that isn't from God, but your needs, the things that, and that mission needed. Those children needed a parent. They need caring for. So we're walking along and I said, Father, they didn't even know I was going to pray, because that's how prayer is.
Yeah.
You just turn from conversation to God.
Yeah.
In a moment, you pray. This is how we live, church. Because
yeah.
We pray without ceasing. We live in an environment of relationship where God's here listening.
Yeah.
So I prayed. I said, Father, supply the need. Supply this person. And I believe. And I thank you, you're gonna.
Yeah.
And when I received it, I went, thanks.
Yeah.
And we just carried on walking, talking, you know. I don't know what we were talking about after that, but I knew that I'd received it. On the journey home, which we went via Moscow, so we were able to pick up the Wi-Fi in the airport and get some messages. Corrie sent a message and said, we've had a miracle. God's answered. We've got the best teacher we could ever have. They worked for a friend of mine many years ago, and they looked after children, and they have such an amazing reputation, and they won't go quickly because children need someone who's going to stay with them and be faithful to them. God answered the prayer. Satan always attacks the promises and throws doubt on my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So he says, no, he won't. Well, you don't see it yet, do you? But you know what you need is the abundance of the supply. The supply on the inside. You just know that you know it's coming. The supply is in. I've taken it from him and his word, heaven, and it's now living on the inside of me. And I know there's a supply that God's going to release even before I ever see it. Believe that it is yours, Jesus said. And you're going to see the outworking of that. God answers believing prayer, not just prayer. Jesus said, his word tells us that faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. But it's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And sometimes, you know, everything about the world that we've come out of, we're not in the world now, we're in the kingdom. Christ is in us, we're in Christ. But everything we've come out of has been all about what we feel, what we experience, whether it kind of lives in my circumstances yet. But Jesus said, I'm going to turn that whole life on the right way up. Because I am a God of faith, and I expect my people to live by faith in what they haven't yet seen or felt or experienced. But I will give you evidence. The evidence is different to what the world says it is. The evidence is the word. The evidence is the word, the promise of God. If God said it, that's all the evidence you need. Abraham had evidence. He believed based on what God said. And so he, against all hope, in hope, believed. And God called him father of nations. Now there was no evidence that he was ever going to produce a child. Because with Sarah, she was barren. She was unable to conceive. And Abraham got so late in the day, like Sarah, that there was no hope of them having a child. But God promised them a child. God said that they would have a son. And they believed on the evidence of God's word alone. They said, we've got a word from God. That's it. That's the only evidence we need. And we're going to carry on believing that until we see it happen.
Yeah.
And so faith does have evidence, but the evidence is it is written in the Word of God. All the promises. You know, some Christians go, well, which one's for me? Which promise can I have? Jesus said, they're all yours. All the promises are yes. They're not like maybe. They're not might. They're not depending on how good you are. It's all depending on how good he is. The promises are dependent on the goodness of God, not how good you are, because, you know, there's only one who's good, and that is God. He's the only good God, and he's always good. And he says, all the promises are yours in Christ Jesus. They're yes and amen. And faith always talks. Faith always speaks about something that hasn't yet been seen. And so you can have a word and everybody else calls you crazy because you've prayed and believed that you've received something and it lives on the inside of you. And everybody says, right then. Can't see any evidence of that. And you say, no, I can hear the sound. It lives. I got it. I know it. I know it. I know I have. I know I have it. Doesn't matter how long it takes, I've got it. It's coming. It's coming into the material world, but first it happens in the invisible, the spirit world. Amen. Abraham believed. You know, and God is so good that I think sometimes we just need to always renew our minds as to how good he is. And when we went on this trip to Mongolia, many of you will know that Hongara, who works with Corrie, she's her right hand really in the ministry now. She came as a Bible college student here, lived with Andy and Jane, and many of you will know her from the past. And she's an amazing testimony of the goodness of God. She was found so badly beaten. She bears the scars. Her back, she scars all over her back from the abuse. Sexual, emotional, physical abuse that she suffered. But she got saved. She got into Corrie's ministry, heard the gospel. She came here. She actually studied to be a lawyer. And we as a church supported her through that university program. And now she's working for Corrie. And she's married with two children. And so when we went, we decided, you know, we should always take presents. Children always like presents. Don't we? I mean, do you not like a prezi?
Yeah,
and Chimbold is his name. It means iron and strong. And Chimbold is what, four? Five? Four. Okay. Now, Chimbold, we had one day off while we were out there, and we went to see the place where the children go in the, sometimes at winter when the pollution's too bad, or it's a little place in the countryside. There's no toilet. There's not even a hole, right? Because normally there's a long drop. You know what a long drop is? If you don't, Google it. I had to use a long drop last weekend. I came to this toilet here and went, Father, thank you. Pushed the flush and went, away it goes. I'm so grateful for a loo. I love loos. We hug the toilet. We say, thank you, Jesus, for the simple things in life. Okay. Anyway, I digress. Chimbold, he walked 8 miles. That strong and iron go with the name. Yeah. I mean, this little tot, he walked 8 miles. Do you not think that's amazing? How many of you got a four-year-old that can walk 8 miles? I think that's cracking. Anyway, so when we arrived, they came to see us as a family, the husband, her husband, and two children. And we got presents for all of them, actually, but we, of course, children are more fun to gift to, generally. Adults are a little bit like, oh, thank you so much, you know. But kids are just exciting. So we said to Chimbold, and because he's old enough to understand the words, we've brought some presents from England for you. And, you know, believing is was seen on his face. He didn't doubt that we were pretending. So, Chimbo, he hadn't seen the present yet. Chimbo, we've brought some prezzies. And he came like this. And that's based on the word of someone he doesn't know very well. How well do you know the Lord? How faithful he is. How could he ever tell you something that isn't true? If a child will believe the word of a pretty much a stranger, just because it's good news. And let me tell you, all the promises are all good news. So he comes and presents himself to us. Well, I think it's such a sign of prayer. Walks up to us and says, go on then. Huh? Lydia, we have a photo. This is Chimbald receiving. Can you think of yourself praying like that? Think of you standing before Jesus going, oh Lord, thanks. I believed it before I saw it because you said it. I knew I was going to get it. But here I am to take it. Prayer. In that one picture shows the joy. Jesus said in my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And there will be joy in my house of prayer. Not misery, not stress and striving. Joy. Do you get it? This is prayer. Believing before you ever see. And you'll have it, Jesus said. Amen. It's wonderful. I'm going to finish with another story and then get into a final scripture and then we're going to pray. Corrie's changed offices out there and they're so nice. They're much better than the old ones. And you just walk not far from her home, which is good. Because how old is she now? 70? 77. She doesn't need a long walk in minus 35 degrees. She just needs a short walk, like you would. Yeah. And when you get to the door, it's an iron door, and there's a code. It's a coded door because there are apartments, and they're on the second floor. And so there's a secret code that you have to key in. And when you key that code in, you can open the door, and in you go. And it really spoke to me. Because I think so many people pray, but they don't use the secret of believing prayer. Because the moment you believe it is the moment the transaction takes place from heaven into your heart. And things begin to work as you continue to trust him. And it will be seen eventually what you've already received in your spirit, in your heart. And that secret code, you can key in whatever number you think is right, but it isn't right. How do you know a secret code is a secret code and it's the only one that's going to unlock it? There is only one kind of prayer that unlocks heaven, and that's faith. No other code, because you can cry out to God day and night, but you still, Jesus says, will I find faith on the earth? I hear prayer, but I answer faith. How do you want answers? I don't just want to pray, I want answers. I answer faith. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see, based on the evidence of God's promise, which is all yes and amen, and we'll do a Chimbald right now. Let's do Chimbalds in prayer. That's a new one. Let's all be Chimbald in prayer. The secret of his power, the supplies of the Spirit, the move of God, the exceedingly great army that God is raising up here, it's all to do with The secret code of prayer is faith. Do you believe? Do you hear the sound? Do you have in your heart what God has said he is going to do? A father came to Jesus. His son was dying. And Jesus kind of said, basically he was trying to get to the point where the man would trust him, not just pray. And he said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. In other words, unless you have a show of power, you won't believe first. And God works the opposite. We want the show without the believing. And God says, the way that this thing works is by faith first, and then the power comes. And so the father says, Jesus, help me. And Jesus said, go your way. These are the words he used. Your son lives. Now, Jesus believes because he's a God of faith. He created the world by speaking because he knows it's going to happen when he says it. Your son lives. But it only happens in that man's experience because he believed it. And the word of God tells us that the man heard the word that Jesus spoke about his son. And he went his way believing. That's how we're to go. From prayer to go our way believing. And when he got home, the boy's up playing. That's my interpretation. The boy's not sick. He's ever so well. Because Jesus does everything well. But he did it through getting that man to believe his prayer based on a word alone. Not a feeling, not an experience, not any evidence at all, but the word of the living God. Finally, it is final. Matthew, let's just look here and we're going to close with some faith prayers, yeah? You good? The secret code, don't pray without it. And let's all do a chin bold. Hey? Yeah. Matthew 9:27. I find this an interesting teaching on the way to receive from Jesus. Matthew 9:27. When Jesus departed from there, and this is when he had raised a girl from the dead. She was... because he can. Love that. I love that. Jesus is the one who raises physically from the dead. Love that. Let's have it. Let's do a chin bold.
Yes.
However you want to pray for somebody who's dead.
Yeah.
And see them come to life.
Amazing.
Let's do a chin bold.
Yeah.
Believe that we receive it.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Declare it and it is going to come to pass.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Matthew 9:27. So he departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, that's Jesus, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. A bit like Chimbold, we've got a present for you. Brilliant. Here I am.
Yeah.
Of course I believe it. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done. Now, Jesus knows what he's talking about when he says, according to your faith, not according to my power. I'm all powerful. I can do anything. But I will only work in your life with your faith. And it's according to. How many of you want to know what's according to? It's like, you know, there are conditions. He says it's according to your faith that it will be done. And they said, yes, Lord, simply, yes, I believe. I accept on the basis of who you are and what you said you've done. I accept it. And according to your faith, it will be done. So this whole thing starts with the guys praying, coming after Jesus, crying out. They weren't healed in the just crying out for mercy.
Right.
They could have done that for 20 years. Let's not pray for 20 years just crying out without faith. Then Jesus goes into a house. I think almost like, well done, guys, you kept going. I want to commend these guys. They didn't say, it's not going to happen for us. It happens for everybody else. Have you ever said that? It's all for you, not just for everybody else. Jesus says yes to you. But they didn't give up. They went into the house where he was and they went to him. A bit like Chimbald. And Jesus didn't heal them just in his presence. We're in the presence of the Lord. Christ is in us all the time. I believe in encounter. I believe in worship. Because I believe that God does things in his presence, but he doesn't do anything where there is no faith. So coming into an environment in church and worship, it can feel really good. Do you know you can create an atmosphere by playing a chord on the keys? Music can hit your soul, but not your believing heart. And it doesn't say when you come to God, do you feel it? It said, do you believe that he is? And he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And so they're in his presence and they weren't yet healed. But it was when Jesus says, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you accept me on the basis of who I am and what I said is yours and I will do in your life if you will believe me? If you accept my word on that basis alone, without the goosebumps, without saying, oh, I really met with God this morning, although I love that. It's nothing to do with that. It's according to my faith that it will be done to me. I'm the same. We're all under the same word. It's all over, all of us according to your faith, me included. And it will only happen in my life because I believe personally that I receive it. And Jesus said, it will be yours. And they got their sight, both of them. I love that. Corporate healing. It wasn't just one. There were two of them that got healed that day. Should we have two? Should we have any? Does anybody want to believe God this morning for something? And lay hold of what God says is true. Because he's faithful to do everything he's promised. One of the women that I prayed for, I had a word for, but I had a word based on the word of God that says that Jesus took our sicknesses upon himself. Jesus took all of our sicknesses on himself, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus did that. It's already done. The work is done. That's why it's all by grace, not works, through faith, like Chimbald. And Jesus, you know, he has already, in one sense, healed everybody on the cross. Just as he's already done the work of salvation already for every human being. Ever. The work is done. Salvation is done. It is finished. The moment it'll happen is the moment you believe it. And the moment you believe it will be the moment you receive it. And I just said, there's a woman here who's got pain. And it was her kidneys, apparently, she's had terrible trouble with. And it's a huge problem out there. Disease in the kidneys. And she got healed. She received her healing. I had the faith, but she had to receive it. And she said at the time, one day, she said, it feels better, but I'm going to believe that it's gone. And the next day, I said, how are you? She said, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. She didn't feel it all in the same day. It was as she went, the miracle manifest. Believing prayer. What does God want to do in our lives? What does he want to do for somebody else's life because you believe? What does he want to do in a child's life because you have the faith that Jesus will keep his word? And what does he want to do for the multitudes who live around here? He's good. He's got presents for everyone. He already chose them all. They're in his word. He hasn't left it a mystery what he wants to do. It's already written. But anything in here you can have if you believe that you receive it first. Sometimes it takes a bit longer for it to manifest. But as long as you hear the sound in you of the abundance of rain, it will then happen afterwards. Let's do a believing Chimbold. And let's pray together. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.